Good morning.
Good morning.
We are delighted to be with you again here at Meridian Church of God, and we love coming. As if we need any other reason, just because we get to see our daughter and son-in-law, but also to see all of you. We love this church as well and are very thankful for you, the connection that we have with you through several different means and people, and we're delighted to be here. And I'm very thankful that Pastor Daniel has invited me to preach today. Usually we are doing a missions program or something, and today I just get to preach, and that feels kind of good too. Most of the time I preach in French and in Africa or someplace else, and otherwise if we're in the U.S. we're usually doing a mission sermon or message. But this today I'm just blessed and thankful to be with you and to preach God's word as well. We are thankful for your support of our ministry over the last several years. As Pastor Daniel said, we have just completed 41 years of ministry as missionaries of the Church of God. And thank you. We were very honored to be recognized during the Anderson Camp meeting this past week for our service and for the Lord's blessing of working with us and through us and all that we have learned in those 40 plus years as well, serving in Haiti and then in six different countries in Africa as well. And so we are thankful that you have been partners with us in that and are blessed by you as well. Thankful to have this opportunity to share from God's word as well. Thankful that we have our good friends Terry and Ruth Canfield here as well, that Terry and I have been good friends since we were in college together many, many, many years ago. We can continue to be good friends. I want to share with you a little bit today from the book of Luke, one of the passages that I have always felt very touched by, very important in Scripture, but also very important personally to me as well. We have just completed the last 2 months celebrating Easter and then the Ascension of our Lord and then the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church and the church's real beginning at that point. And those are very important times, very events that the church continues to see as very significant to us historically and in the daily life of the church. And so I feel like this period of time is one that is significant for us to continue to concentrate on and think about the resurrection narratives of the scriptures that are essential to our faith and our salvation. All four gospel writers record these events, some of different from different perspectives, but all highlighting the historical truth and importance of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, which is an undeniable reality. Each one of them highlights them from a different perspective, with unique details and events of Jesus appearing to different groups and different people to prove the historical truth that Jesus is indeed resurrected from the dead. He appeared to many different people. He appeared to over 500 witnesses at one time, according to the Apostle Paul. And he appeared to many others during the 40 days that he was back on earth after his resurrection, before his ascension. And so this is a historical fact that is important to our faith, without which our salvation would be in vain, as the Apostle Paul said. It would not have any value for us at all. But I think even more than being historically important, these events are also personally important to us as well. They show that God delights in transforming our gloom and our tragedy into triumph, transforming crisis into crowning glory. Because we all have those kind of times of tragedy, of crisis, of gloom and doom and difficulties in our lives, we all need to see how God can transform those things in our lives into triumph and crowning glory as well in our lives. In fact, I think it often takes crises in our lives to make us recognize God's active involvement in our lives every day, to bring triumph and crowning glory out of our crises and difficulties. And I'm sure many of you could testify to how God has done that in your life, in various situations, hardships, tragedies that you have suffered and gone through, and how God has used those to draw you progressively closer to Him in a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the testimony of two men in our story today. And I'm going to ask my good friend, Pastor Terry, make sure we have his mic. Good. He's going to read our scripture. You can follow along on the screen behind us as well as Pastor Terry reads for us from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 36. A fairly long passage, but one that I think is important for us to hear and read.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all of the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread. And he gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'"
Amen. In this historical event, Jesus had already appeared to the women, but not yet to the disciples, as Luke tells us here. Luke is the only one who actually relates this particular story, this appearance, to these two disciples that we have in Scripture. These were two of the 70 who were walking. They had been among the 70 disciples beyond the 12 that Jesus had first appointed. And they were in a time of crises in their life, a time of doubt, a time of fear, a time of disillusionment, a time of dashed hopes. And they were heading home, the only place they could think of to go where maybe something familiar they might find again. And in their moment of crisis, Jesus showed up. to walk with them, to help them move from crisis to crowning glory with him. At first, Jesus was only a stranger to them, but by the end of their journey, Jesus had become their Savior and their Lord. What happened along the way to bring about such a profound change in them? I notice a progression of three particular things that took place that moved them from Jesus as a stranger to Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And I'd like to highlight those three things in my message this morning. First of all, Jesus walked with them along their pathway. Perhaps Jesus just came up to them and accompanied them for a while, just listening to what they said without speaking for a while. Though still a stranger to them, they noticed his presence and his interest in their concerns, their problems, their fears, as they shared them along the way. There's a proverb we use in English that says, "Don't judge a man until you've walked a mile in his shoes." And I think that's where Jesus was with them. It's in walking with someone in his path that you begin to understand that person, something of his life, his hopes, his difficulties, his vision. It reminds me of our African brothers and sisters in Cote d'Ivoire and other African countries where we have served that commonly walk hand in hand, two men, even two women walking hand in hand as a sign of their friendship, their relationship. It took me back a bit. If you can go to the next slide. It took me back a bit when I, first time a pastor came up and grabbed me by the hand and walked with me along the road, because in our culture here, we're not too accustomed to men doing that, are we? And yet, in an African setting, it's very significant. It represents a closeness, an intimate relationship of wanting to be open with that person and to talk and share. And the picture that you see here, these are some of our African leaders in the country of Cote d'Ivoire who are supporting walking with one of our pastors who had recently lost his mother, and this was during the funeral events where the pastors were sharing by holding hands with him and one another, expressing their concern and their support for this pastor as well. And so this is what I can imagine Jesus kind of coming up beside these two disciples and eventually taking them by the hand and just listening, walking with them, expressing his concern for them as well. And I think Jesus wants to walk in our pathway with us as well, listening, getting into deeper relationship with us, wanting to know from us, from our perspective, what are the struggles, what are the fears, what are the doubts that we're dealing with in our life right now. Have you invited Jesus to walk and hit your road with him, to walk with you in your road as well? Does he accompany you to the places that you go in life? Or would you be embarrassed for him to do so? Without his presence beside us as we walk along the way, it is impossible to know him as our Lord and Savior. And even at this point, these two disciples, though Jesus was walking with them, they did not recognize who he was. And so, and Jesus moved to the next thing. He began to talk with them as well. My second point is Jesus talked with them about their problems and their disappointments. It's not enough just that he walked with them, but he also had to become involved in the things that concerned them, their words, their problems, their fears, their failures, their disappointments. That's why he began to ask them questions. What kind of things are you talking about? What is this that you're talking about? To get them to open up their hearts, their concerns, and express those to him as well. Though he knows all things, he wants to hear what are the things on our hearts before he begins to act to change our crisis and gloom into crowning glory. He often asked the sick when he was on the earth, "What do you want me to do for you?" Knowing full well what their situation was, but he wanted to hear it from them. "What do you want me to do for you?" He never forced his will on anyone. When we begin to talk with Jesus, we start to see our problems from his perspective. And I think that's one of the biggest miracles of prayer. It's not just how God can change our circumstances, but how he can help us change our perspective on our circumstances and see them from a different light, about how he is using those and wants to use them to bring crowning glory into our lives as well. When Jesus talked with them, the scripture says their hearts burned within them. Their eyes were beginning to be open to understand truths that they had not previously understood before. When I think about this situation, it reminds me of various times when I've been with my African brothers and sisters in Cote d'Ivoire or other countries, and one in particular when we were living in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and I had a group of pastors with me in the car, and we came across another missionary friend from the U.S. Who was in his car, and so he and I got out, greeted each other briefly, and then shared some information, and then got back in the car and went our separate ways. And afterwards, the pastors who were in the car with me were puzzled. They said, "Isn't that missionary, isn't he your friend? Don't you know him well?" And I said, yeah, he's a good friend. We've known him a long time." And he said, "But you didn't greet each other," meaning we didn't greet each other in the African way, which means taking time to ask about the news of everybody. How is your wife? How's each of your children? How is your mother and your father? How is your business going? How's your health? Greetings in Africa take a long time when they're done the African way. And we were two Americans talking in the American way, so we didn't take a whole lot of time. And to them, that meant we didn't have a real interest in one another. Because when Africans are concerned and interested in their friends, they take time to ask questions, to talk with each other, to ask the news. And they do the same thing when they pray. They spend a long time praying, asking the news of their Father in heaven and giving him their news as loud as they can as well, because that's a part of who they are. Taking time for one another. Have you invited Jesus to talk with you? Do you take time to share with him verbally from your heart and you meet your mouth what's going on in your life? What are your deepest concerns, your problems, your fears with him in prayer? Do you take time to listen to his perspective on your problems? In doing so, he will open your eyes to understand things that you've not understood before, just as he understands them. Even so, when Jesus began to talk with them, the two disciples did not recognize that this was Jesus. And so we move to the third thing that Jesus did. That was he sat down at table and ate with them as well. Jesus ate their daily bread with them in this experience. While Jesus was only walking and talking with them on the road, the disciples just thought he was another stranger. It was not until they opened up their home to him and shared their daily bread with him that their eyes were open to know him and who he really is. When they finally opened up completely to him and held nothing back, they were able to know Jesus personally and more intimately. In breaking of bread, and as Jesus broke their bread, he broke their pain and their problems and offered them his bread of life instead. Again, this isn't a mission sermon, but you might be surprised because I can't seem to stop talking about Africa. When we're in Africa, one thing that we've always been noted in customary settings in Africa is how people sit together and eat together. And often they will eat men in one group, women in another group, and children in another group. And they all sit around a big bowl of rice and another bowl of sauce. And they'll usually eat with their hands, dip the rice or whatever else they're eating with their hands, dip it into the sauce, and then eat it all together around this big bowl. And that's a part of who they are, sharing what they have together without worrying about the germs or the diseases. This shows their spirit of solidarity, their sharing and intimacy that is often missing from us when we eat each from our separate sterile plates, using our sterile silverware. Jesus wants to share his plate with us as well. He has invited us to come around the plate with a big bowl with him as well. And we need to invite him into our homes and our hearts, as these disciples finally did. Jesus, in Revelation 3:20, said, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." The nourishment that Jesus offers us far surpasses that which we can come up with for ourselves as well. He has so much more he wants to give us, but we have to invite him. We need to open the door and say, "Jesus, come in completely into my life. I don't want to withhold anything, but I want to share everything, even my worst parts of my life, because I know you have so much more in store for me as well." This reminds me of a story I heard here in the U.S. about a church picnic after church one Sunday. They had announced it a week in advance that next Sunday we would be having a picnic out on the lawn of the church, and everyone can bring their food and we'll spread it out on the lawn, and we'll all eat together and share in this meal together. In Africa, we call those agape meals, when we share the love of Christ together in our eating. And so the Sunday came when they were going to do that. And after church, everybody got their meals and took them out on the lawn and spread them out and began to pray and share and fellowship together and eating. There was a family, a fairly large family, who had prepared a wonderful meal of fried chicken and probably potato salad and coleslaw and a lot of other good things, rolls and so forth. And they spread that out and were just getting ready to sit down and eat when the father of the family noticed a little boy sitting off to the side by himself. And all he had was a little sack. And in that little sack was a kind of a smushed up half of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's all the little boy had been able to scrounge up, because his parents didn't come to church. And so all he could find in the kitchen to fix to bring to the church picnic. But he brought that because he wanted to be there with the people as well. The father noticed this little boy and he said, "Hey, why don't you come over here with us? You bring what you have, we'll bring what we have, and we'll share it all together. You can have some of ours and we'll have some of yours if you're okay with that." Well, the little boy looked over and he saw the fried chicken and the potato salad and all the other good things. And he said, "This looks like a pretty good deal." And he went over and sat with the family, and they shared his little bit of peanut butter jelly sandwich and everything else. And he was so much more blessed than if he just stayed with his little peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Because the boy agreed to give up the little that he had to share in then their big spread, he ate the best full food and was full. And I think that's what God does for us as well. When we are willing to share with him the little bit that we have, however meager and miserable it may seem, we become the recipients of his riches and his blessings that are so much better, so much greater than we could ever imagine. When the two disciples recognized that this was actually Jesus talking to them, I'm sure they were, I can only think of a French word, ébloué, which means kind of blown out of the water. To realize this is Jesus who's been talking to them all this time. And then Jesus disappeared. But there were four results that I note happened when Jesus walked and talked and ate with them, according to Luke. The first one was their hearts were burning. They had burning hearts. The scripture says they were strangely warmed as they began to hear what Jesus was saying and experience his presence with them. Secondly, they had understanding minds. The things they previously did not understand, Jesus opened up to their minds to be able to understand who he was and why he had to suffer and how he was fulfilling all of Scripture of the Old Testament to what he had to do to that point. Thirdly, they had running feet. The Scriptures tell us that they, even though it was nighttime by this point, and they told Jesus not to walk at night, they ended up running at night, apparently, because the scriptures tell us they ran back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples what had just happened. They ran to do God's work without fear, even at night. And lastly, they had testifying lips. They shared the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not only historically, but personally, how it had changed their lives as well. And I think Jesus wants to do those things in our lives as well. As we encounter him and open our lives up to us, to open up our lives to him, our hearts begin to sense and feel the warmth of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And the more we open up to him, the more we sense that presence. He also illuminates our minds to understand his word and understand his will for our lives, things we probably didn't understand too much before. And then we have a desire to use our abilities, our strength, our running feet to share with others what God is doing in our lives and how he can do the same for them. And testifying lips to say, this is what Jesus has done in my life and he wants to do it for you as well. And so I want to challenge and encourage you this morning to let Jesus eat at your table today and each day as well. This passage has always struck me as a missionary because it has such important implications for us as missionaries as we learn to be more effective in recognizing Jesus at work among our African brothers and sisters. In order to do so effectively, we have to take time to walk with people, to talk with people, and to eat with people as well. Walk with people to learn their lifestyle, to learn their values, what's important to them, what concerns they have in their daily lives. And then to talk with them, to be able to learn the language of their heart. Not only to learn their language, like French in our case, but also to learn how they're using that. What does it mean? How are they expressing their concerns in their daily lives? To be able to communicate on a deeper level with them concerning their heart's desires, their needs, their problems, and their feelings. And thirdly, to eat with people, to appreciate their food physically and spiritually. There's been a few things we've eaten in Africa that didn't really appreciate, but we learned to adjust to, like sheep intestines, for instance. But even in appreciating those things, it helps us to understand people's lives and to share and value what is important to them, to know what nourishes them as well as what upsets their stomachs, in physical and spiritual terms as well. And so I'm always challenged when I read this passage to learn to do these three things as I approach and come to a new place or meet new people, to take time to walk with them, to talk with them, and to eat with them as well. Jesus is inviting us to move through this progression of a deeper level of intimate relationship with him as we walk. He walks with us and talks with us and eats with us as well. Are we ready to do that? Is he still a distant stranger to us? Or is he our close friend and personal savior? Are we moving into a deeper intimacy with him? Or are we stalled somewhere along the way of just walking and talking? We need to walk, talk, and eat with Jesus. Going through a time of crises, a time of gloom in our lives, it may be just the thing that God wants to use to move us from crisis and gloom to crowning glory and to knowing him in a more personal way. And so I want to invite you this morning. I know many of you have done this already, but I want to invite you to invite Jesus to walk with you along life's journey in every situation. Not just on Sundays, but Mondays and Tuesdays and throughout the week in every situation, at home, at work, at school, in our family lives. Invite Jesus to walk with you. Invite Jesus to talk with you, to speak into your life crises, to help you understand those problems and questions that you have, how those things that have been disappointments in your lives may become stepping stones to move closer to Jesus as well. And invite Jesus to break bread at the table of your home and your heart as well, to know him personally. This morning, in a few moments, we're going to be taking communion, another opportunity to eat at Jesus' table and invite him in to eat with us as well. This is a physical act that Jesus told his disciples to do in remembrance of him, but it is also a personal commitment that we're making to say, Jesus, I want to be in a more intimate relationship with you. As I partake of these things that represent your sacrifice for my life, may I open my heart more personally, more intimately, for you to walk with me in every day of my life. I'm going to read from one of the passages just that tells us where Jesus instituted this, what we call communion, in just two chapters before our text, from Luke 22, verses 14 to 20, where Jesus first asked the disciples, or told the disciples, to carry out this act as well. So we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 14, which says, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" Jesus told his disciples to do this each time in remembrance of him. And we do that once again today in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, who wants to walk and talk and eat at our tables with us each day. We have a table before us that we call the Lord's table. The Lord is inviting us to a more personal walk with him this morning. And so as we prepare to take communion, I want to encourage you to prepare your hearts. Say, "Lord, I am opening my heart to you. I want you to have full openness. I want you to be completely accessible to the deepest parts of my life today. And as I take communion, I'm saying, Lord, I want more of you. I need you in my life. I need you to walk with me. I need you to talk with me. And I need you to eat with me in my everyday life as well." In the Church of God, we practice open communion, which means that anybody who is a believer in Christ has made a decision to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're welcome to participate with the church as we take communion today. And so we invite you to do that. And in a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to do it the African way, kind of, at least how we do it in Cote d'Ivoire. And that is means we have to move a little bit. So those of who are able, after we pray, we'll invite you to come forward. I'll ask the ushers to come and help distribute the elements. We'll have, I don't know how many ushers we have, two or four. Okay, great. So we'll have one in each location with bread and the cup. And you will come forward and they will pass these out to you. And we invite you at that point, then you can either kneel at the altars to take them or go back to your seat and take them as well. And so I would want to take a moment just to pray first and invite you to pray. We'll invite the worship team to come up and play music to help us as we move into this next phase of our worship as well. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave your only Son for us, that we might know you personally, that you will walk with us in our daily lives. You will talk with us about the things that are our concerns and our questions. And you will eat with us at our tables, in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in our homes, every day. As we partake of this communion, we pray that our hearts would be open to say, Lord, do what you want to do in my heart today. Where there may be things that are not pleasing to you, I ask you to cleanse those from our lives and give us the power, the desire, the motivation to move beyond those things and allow you to transform those things in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken for us. And as we take of this bread, we ask your blessing upon it. As we take of the juice, that reminds us that your blood was spilled for us on the cross, that blood would wash our sins away as we put our trust and faith in you, and we become new creatures in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that, for your sacrifice on our behalf. May it draw us closer to you today as we partake in these elements. We pray in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We invite you to come forward as you are prepared, and the ushers will...